Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Folks, if you'd like a copy of my latest book, Tales with TR, Fights, Film, and Folklore, head on over to flankerpress.com. If you'd like it personalized, send a message to eoldford@flankerpress.com. and I'll personalize it and send it out within the week. Makes a great Christmas present. It's almost that time of year again. Remember, flankerpress.com and eoldford@flankerpress.com if you'd like it personalized. Have a great Christmas. Happy hockey season. Hello, hello. Welcome, folks, to Tales with TR. I'm your host, Terry Ryan. It's good to be here, coming at you this week from beautiful Sudbury, Ontario. Yeah, it's interesting. As most of you know, I'm here shooting a TV show, okay? I don't really say which one it is. Although very shortly I'll be able to, so stay tuned, okay? It's all going to make sense. I don't think I've mentioned which one it is yet, at least I shouldn't have, because we're sworn to secrecy. But, and it's not Letterkenny. When I say Sudbury, people think, ah, you're up there doing Letterkenny again. And those who like that scene, Letterkenny, I only did the one scene in Letterkenny. Although I don't even know what going viral means. People say it went viral. Is there a, I don't know, there was hundreds of thousands of views. I don't know if that qualifies. But I know it was a fun little scene, and I know that Letterkenny is a pretty popular show, especially amongst the hockey Canadiana kind of community. As it would be. I know Brad Pitt watches it. I know most of my buddies watch it, and I know that I've seen the vast majority. It's one of those things. At first, it was so unique, and it's way underrated, Letterkenny. So if you guys haven't seen it, if I'm talking to people that haven't, give it a chance. People that have, I'm sure you've noticed the wordplay, which is the reason. I know it's got some, the hockey slang is great. Riley and Jonesy, you know, they're classics. I lived in small town Canada a lot of my life, so it plays on a lot of those stereotypes. Some people will get upset and think that it goes too far. When I say some people, I'm just going by like Twitter, which means nobody. I wonder what the percentage is of the people on Twitter. 10% of the population, really, if you think about it. And then it feels like everybody, but then, and then like one idiot will get a retweet or something. I'm just saying of any complaint I've ever heard, I think a lot of people think it goes over the top, but that's the point, right? It plays on the stereotypes and it's funny. And, you know, it's a lot of wordplay going on, and I love Arrested Development for the same. There are two of my, I won't say my very, I don't know. Arrested Development might be my favorite show ever. That's so subjective, but it's one of them. But it's just so like every almost every sentence is in on the joke, or if not straight up funny, it's a pun referring to something that's coming or something that already happened. And Letterkenny often play off that. They'll do a phrase or a word, say and throw it in your face at the beginning, and then the whole episode is kind of it comes back at you, and they spin off from that. I think it's brilliant from that point of view, right? Because, and I don't think a lot of people that have never given it a chance realize that they see the small town Canada angle, but they don't realize the. I just think the wordplay is just fantastic, and the writers. Well, I know Jared Kiso. I know him a little bit now. We've had some back and forths. I know he's one of the writers, and I know he created. But there's Jacob Tierney. But there's obviously for these shows, there's a writer's room, and you know there's a process. And I'd love to know exactly how they do it. Same thing with Arrested Development. I'm going. The jokes are almost coming so fast that what's your starting point? Maybe I'll ask Jared that if I ever see him again. In any case, Jared Kiso, that is. In any case, yeah, we're up here in Sudbury doing a TV show. So my guest today, Joe Ishmael Diaby, who played 4 years in the Quebec League, good D-man, big guy, went pro, played couple seasons in the A, couple in the Coast, and anyway, he's here. He's in. He's doing this show with me. He's a hockey player turned rapper, and he's here working this show with me. So I figured, why not? I only met him a couple days ago, and I read about his character, and didn't realize that he, you know, not many people I come across in the acting community are ex-professional hockey players. But Joe is, and when he said that, you know, I was thinking, well, what, like one or two games here or there somewhere in the Sunshine League? No, he's got a great resume. 6'5", 220. And played hockey with those Newfoundlanders listening, Brandon Hines. Hines, he could shoot it like no other. Brandon Hines is, I don't know about everything else, there's some parts of his game that need to be improved on, obviously, or we wouldn't be playing senior hockey, but he could have kept going playing pro somewhere. He's just got a cannon. Anyway, they played together in junior. Not that I have ever talked to Heinze about it or Joe. I just realized that today researching this interview. And anyway, 4 years in Victoriaville, and then Joe went on to play in Milwaukee Admirals in the A. A few other places, Cincinnati and the Coast, and then gave it up and just turned rapper. I mean, I'm sure he was always into music. I don't really know yet. He's given me the Cole's notes as we're here in the mornings, getting up, having breakfast and working or whatever, but very interesting. And I've seen him skate. He's like, you know, pretty, pretty good. D-man, big guy. I'm surprised he didn't get more of a shot, to be honest. But then again, he might have. His passion clearly is rapping. Good Montreal boy. Black guy. Do I need to say that? Yeah. I was going to go, well, you know, a big black hockey player. And I felt like that was almost racist saying that. But it's not. It's not. It just, you know, he's got dreads. I don't know. Like, he looks like a hockey player when he's got his gear on. But, you know, as a rapper, I've seen pics now. He's got some style. He's got the long dreads. And I don't know why. Yeah, I say he's black. Doesn't really matter. Gives you a visual, I guess. I'm not saying that one way or the other. Good cat. You know, he's a black guy. There's not many big rapping black hockey players, I suppose. So that's why I would describe somebody in that fashion. It's really funny nowadays to, not funny, but it's actually not funny. It's sad how much you have to qualify things like that. Like, just identifying something might be extreme or racist, but it's not. Joe's awesome. It's already, I can tell he's going to be a friend for life. No doubt. No doubt. Black, white, red, blue. Whatever. We're very similar people. And I love his, I've only known him now a few days, but I don't know. You can just tell when someone has a good attitude. You know, positive guy to be around, positive vibes. And usually those kind of people, you know, chase their, it doesn't surprise me that he chased his dream of being a rapper. And he's still got a great hockey story. I mean, anybody that ever plays in the American Hockey League and considers that a disappointment, not that he does, but, you know, the first thing I said, you know, you played in the A, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, I nearly got up. I didn't. I was with Nashville, third round pick, you know, and that's crazy, but it's no reason to. Not that he does. I'm sure he's proud of himself. But I'm just saying, for those players out there that might get even to junior A or, you know, major junior or CIS or whatever it might be, or the East Coast League, you know, most players don't get to do that, right? And I'd have been a fan either way, whether I had got to play a minute of junior B even or junior A, whatever it is. Had I not left the island, I still would have been a hockey fan. Hockey had me from day one. But it was nice to have the journey. I think that's why, as a fan, the journey can be so rewarding, because you're getting to see the inside of the very thing that you adore. I don't know. Not every actor gets to be in a TV show, say, you know, so I feel fortunate that way, but that was a bad comparison. I wasn't saying because I'm an actor. Not every musician gets to, you know, open and play in front of 5 or 10,000 people. Whatever it's going to be, you know, there are bucket list things and things that happen along the way that should be a feather in your hat. And I think in hockey, it's easy to miss that because the goal is the NHL to most people, right? But I mean, just to play junior there, you're against the odds. Most people, I mean, from the people that put on their gear when they start playing hockey, you know, only so many get to play All-Star, and then only so many from All-Star get to play even junior B. And in my mind, once you even start, well, if you play junior, you kind of get it, because the, you know, minor hockey still, even AAA still, there's parents around. If you play junior, I mean, junior B is it's a microcosm of life, first of all, but it's very, it's relative terms. It's no different than being in the NHL dressing room. It's the same kind of thing, right? You got your leaders, you got your, the people at the bottom, at the top, the power play, you know, the coach, you have to make sure you see how things get run, I guess, in pro. You're living on your own. In junior, you got to build it maybe, but the bare bone structure of it is the same. So if you've, and there, I'd use Jared Kiso again as an example. If you take Letterkenny, fans that watch it or whatever, and the scene I did on Letterkenny was a hockey scene. Check it out. I think it's, type in Newfoundland Letterkenny, it'll come up. But, you know, Jared played junior B, right? But so he gets it though. And you can tell in the way he writes, and you know, I'm sure there's people help him. But if you make it to junior B, it's the same parallel universe you're living in, right? The same lingo, it's approached rather professionally, in that the coach, there's a pecking order, right? There's rookies, there's veterans. All of a sudden, there's 16-year-olds and 20-year-olds. Not there's a 2-year swing like in minor hockey. You're often living on your own. You got to stand up for yourself, right? And you got to be a teammate. All of a sudden, the cage comes off. You got a half visor now. There's fighting now. So now there's a bit of sacrifice. Okay. I know you grew up with this guy. Gary Clark was your line mate all the way up, but he's not here now. This is Todd, who you just met from Whitby. Now you got to go out there and fight for him, right? And that's the same all the way up. The reasons might be slightly different, but it's the same sort of thing. You learn sacrifice, living on your own. You learn independence. I loved independence, right? Even though junior, you're so happy, you're making like $60 a week, but who cares? I'm on my own, you know, and it feels so great. Now you go through those life changes and the hockey gets better and the life experiences go from a boy's to a man's. But underneath it all, it's still the great game of hockey, right? And if you'll notice, a lot of writers that write about hockey and things. They did, they made it to junior and no further. And you know, because of that, they're probably super fans. And I mean, as I am, I'm a super fan as well. I don't mean like in the way of that they're clingy super fans. I mean, they're just big, huge fans of the game and played it to a certain level and really wanted to get up. So they pay attention to detail, right? It's why do you think so many guys who are fairly tough, let's just say Craig Berube, that played the game, are good coaches, right? Because they might, Brant Myers will tell you, right? You want to get out there more, but you can't. He's like, fuck, half the time I didn't even know think about the puck when I was on the ice. You know, I was playing a role. But a lot of the tough guys, like Brant and so many others, Craig Berube, I'm not saying the boys didn't play at all. I'm sure there's the odd game they played on the power play. But if you're generally not playing a lot, if your role is one that requires little time on ice, you learn a lot. I learned the most about the game ever, and I've said this before, consciously anyway, in those years that I was up, I was a black ace in Montreal. Because growing up, I mean, obviously you're going to learn a lot, but it doesn't feel like you're absorbing it. It's almost, what's the word? Osmosis. You're learning as it's happening, and a lot of it you're unaware of. It's not like you're studying a book. But then you get up to the NHL and it is kind of like that, because you're going over video and things and you want to be the best teammate you can. And my thing was, you know, the boys want tunes on or whatever. Tell me what you want to hear. I'll throw in maybe the odd joke, fill up the bottles. You know, that was still a thing, you know, at the end of practice, we had water people. But I mean, you know, I would often, we're out there black acing it. We're out there 2 hours after, you know, get some Gatorades, bring them out for the boys, make sure to pick up the pucks last. There's a role, but as you're doing those things, you know, a scorer would be, that's playing all the time, is worrying about his job. A fighter, the same thing. You know, if you're just playing the game that night and you're going to play a regular shift, you're probably very aware of that, the role that you're going to play. And it's, you're absorbing it, but not as consciously. For me, I would be like on the bench, like many of those games I tell you about, grocery stick. It wasn't really a bad thing though. Like I was literally going, oh, that's what we're doing. So as in my head, right, the plays that we were doing, say a power play breakout, I'm looking at it knowing by the second period, knowing I'm not going to get a shift. But now I'm looking at Mark Recchi and Pierre Turgeon and Vincent Damphousse and Stéphane Quintal and Patrice Brisebois. I'm watching these fucking unbelievable players pull off exactly what we were taught. And it sticks in your head then, right? A lot more gets absorbed, especially the same thing in practices, right? Whenever, I don't know, when did I play a lot, you know? And I was one of the main guys would be, say, in junior, right? And I do remember, I must have learned a lot in junior. I improved, but it definitely wasn't as conscious. But in the NHL, and I don't mean that in the, like in the show, I'm studying a book and it's like math homework. I just mean that you go over the video, you're watching yourself. And one of the jobs is to be there. I mean, they're paying you good money. Could be a lot worse. So, you know, during practice and then they're working on the power play, as a fan and as an absorber of knowledge, let alone a teammate, I'm looking at right in front of me, Saku Koivu, right? Be the bumper guy. And, you know, Mark Recchi, I still say, even he played that long, he's still underrated. Fuck, Rex could fly like a little bowling ball too, way stronger on the puck than people think. So many great players in that generation, though, right? It's easy to lose guys like that. But anyway, I'm looking at it. I just always felt privileged. Like I'd love to see my face back then, because even at the worst of times, I think I would have been smiling. You know, I was always like every day I was in there going, holy shit, like I'm in the Molson Center now, the Bell Center. Like, and I'm here. Like I almost felt like an imposter. But you know, I'm glad. It made me appreciate things, and I have great collections and friends. It still blows me away that even like Shane Corson is a buddy. Now, even though Tux became a NHL star, I guess you could say for sure, but Tux, Darcy Tucker, that is, you know, was my roommate. We came through the West together. So it's not like I was already like, I don't want to use the word idolized. I don't really remember idolizing anybody but Gretzky and Lemieux. idolizing, really, maybe Chris Nyland. But, you know, of course, was someone that I just never thought I'd ever meet, and especially, you know, be on the same team. And one of the first things he said, yeah, you went first round. I remember that I met him. He came over. He said, you went first round? I said, yep. He said, you had 50 in junior? I said, yep. He said, you went eighth overall from a good family, good Newfoundlander? I said, yep. He said, well, me too. We got a lot in common. He said, stick with me. And that was, what, 25 years ago. And I talked to Chris 2 days ago. Funny how that goes. Anyway, I'm rambling. Joe Ishmael Diaby, otherwise known as Dolo, coming right up.
The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest stands 6'5", 220, and played 4 years in the QMJHL for Victoriaville before being chosen in the third round, 64th overall, by the Nashville Predators of the NHL. He then played professionally for 5 seasons, including almost 100 games in the AHL, but recently took an unprecedented transition into the rap game and is now simply known as Dolo to hip-hop fans in Montreal. And everywhere, I suppose. We're in Sudbury shooting a TV series at the moment, so in the near future, he'll be adding actor to his already impressive and unique resume. Ladies and gents, he is a tough cookie, an acting rookie. He dresses dapper. He's a hell of a rapper. He wears cool socks and he rocks dreadlocks. He's a good guy, it's true. Was solid in the queue. He likes to share and he has nice hair. Chicks say he's hot and he has a hard shot. He goes high off the glass and what a breakout pass. His rhymes are tight and we had Italian last night. He set the tone as a Cincinnati Cyclone. We're on the same side of the tracks. I'm white, he's black. When I'm out west, I wear a bolo. Folks, it's Joe Diaby, or simply Dolo. Dolo, how the hell are you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm living. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking, brother. How are you?
Well, it's great to meet you. And we can't really talk about what TV series it is quite yet, although stay tuned. And where can people find you, by the way, on Instagram?
They can find me at Joe_Dolo on Instagram. Real simple, Joe_Dolo. Yeah, man.
And do you have a website or anything?
The website is not officially up. But they can find me on the Astred Collective. That would be the A-S-T-R-E-D collective.com. We just released a short movie as well. You'll find that all over there.
Okay, deadly. So if people want, like when I tell people, I just say, stay tuned to my Instagram. If there's anything going on, I'll just post it.
Instagram, everything's okay. There.
So you follow you there. So listen, I'm really interested because I just met you. And actually, I was very impressed by your hockey resume. But you can't follow as easy as you can hockey, music, rap, whatever it might be. So growing up, were you into music as much as hockey?
No, not at all. Like growing up, I was just into hockey. Like I started playing, I was 8 years old. My dad's from Africa. My mom's a Quebecer. So my dad came to me for my first practices, first games at the rink. He didn't know what the fuck hockey was, none of that. But me, I just loved the game, you know, and started playing. I had fun with it. Always was a big fan of music, but never got into it. I played guitar a little bit as a youngster too for a year or two, but that was it, you know. Sport, it wasn't cool. Music wasn't cool like sports was to girls and at school and stuff like that, you know. So wow. I just kept going with the hockey, and you know, thank to God I kind of was good. And, you know, I never really thought of making it to the pros. It was a dream. But until I started playing juniors, actually, I would say midget.
Wow.
Midget.
That's late as a hockey player. Usually you have an idea before that.
Like I was just playing for fun, you know. And it's actually a guy who played a little bit in Frederick Gauthier. His dad, Fred played in Toronto for a couple of years. But I don't know what he's up to now. But his dad actually got me into the midget AAA camp because I was just going to go for the home team hockey, had fun with my homies and stuff. And he actually wrote me down to go, like, put my name down for camp. So I got calls and emails and stuff like that for me to show up at camp. So I just went to, you know, and I made the team as a 15 years old, like last defenseman, you know, just played a couple games and stuff like that and fucking got drafted in the queue. And wow. From then I was like, yo, it's doable, you know, so let's keep pushing for it. We actually made it, you know, so yeah, it was kind of cool.
Were you big? I mean, you're big. Were you always D? When I look at you right off the bat, as soon as we stepped onto the ice, I was like, wow, this guy, like you, I can see how you would have been a prospect, 6'5", 220, and yep. Got that crisp breakout pass, good skater. So mm-hmm. I'm surprised, but I'm surprised by the late development, but when you were saying peewee, were you as big of a force compared to everybody else, or did you
grow? I always had an edge. I would say, especially it started at 12 years old. 12 years old, I was like 5'7", fucking, I don't remember how heavy I was, almost 200 pounds. I was real heavy, man. But I always had a little edge on guys. But yeah, man, I always was taller, always been a defenseman. I wanted to be a goalie at first because I was scared of hitting, to be quite honest with you. When I was seeing like the Montreal Canadiens playing, like they would go at it, I'd get scared. So I wanted to play goaltender, but to be quite honest, the gear was too expensive. So I just played defenseman because it was the closest to to being a goaltender. And yo, I made a career out of it.
what part of Montreal are you from?
So I traveled a little bit, but I would say like right now I live in Centre Sud, but I would say I'm from Villeray.
Wow. So you go on when you got drafted, I mean, third round, 64th overall, that's pretty high for someone that 2-3 years before is like, thinking like, you know, I don't even know if I'm, you know, what do you mean I'm going to be a hockey player? To go 64th in the whole world.
Nah, I was
63 players your age went ahead of you. That's it.
Yep. That was huge. I was the happiest guy in the fucking world that day. I remember it vividly, man. Like it was this old draft week was just so memorable for me. Yeah, it was huge. Huge, huge, huge.
Yeah. And what kind of vibes? So you get drafted by Nashville, right? So I'm guessing you didn't go to the draft, did you?
I did because I had one of my friends, Emile Poirier, who got drafted first rounder there. He was a big fucking prospect. So I was going like mostly.
Where was it?
It was in New Jersey.
Okay. 2013. Okay. Fair. Yeah. So you can drive down.
We weren't far from home. So I made a trip out of it. You know, we stayed a week in Manhattan. We had so much fucking fun. But yeah, man. So got drafted there. And I had a big, I had shoulder problems, so kind of kept it on the low. But, yo, got drafted, went to the table with my agent. We showed up there. We're like, yo, I'm getting surgery tomorrow, so I'll be out for 3 months. I won't make it to camp, but I'll see you guys soon. And they were like, what the fuck? But they were really like, they knew we couldn't say anything before the draft, you know, so they understood everything. And they brought me to rookie camp and all those stuff, still injured or recuperating. And at the time, it was Barry Trotz there. So I had a really good relationship with him. And yeah, man, fucking went to like camp, but just skated around, not with the boys. I played in Milwaukee after that. Or actually, no, I came back juniors and I didn't even play till it was October. I thought it was maybe December, actually. It was December, I think.
So you were out considerably. And when you do go back, so I know, and I've talked about this one player. There's a player I know from Newfoundland, as he played in Victoriaville with you. You know where I'm going to go with this. And, you know, he was a real good player, above average at most.
Oh, yeah.
He struggled defensively at times, but Brandon Hines, could he shoot it? I've said to people, I said, like, I don't know, care what you say about the other sides of his game. You know, he could work on that. I don't want to put him down too much. But what I'm saying is that his shot was NHL What a fucking shot on that guy. And you played with him, hey?
Yeah, I played with Heinze for a couple of years in Victoriaville, man. We had so much fun together, me and Heinze, but his shot was something else.
I bet.
Like, fucking, we had to practice against the guy. Like, he was on the fucking, I remember being a fucking rookie and Heinze just throwing fucking one-timers at me for half an hour.
Yeah, you know, he worked at it too. You know, but I say to people, I'm like, you know, he's so happy-go-lucky that almost forget, like, there's a serious player inside of there, right?
And he got a cannon. Pull in, and oh my, yo, he could fucking rip it. Heinze, we had a blast, and coaches, coaches had a hard time with us, but
especially you guys, like a big black dude with dreadlocks and from Quebec, and then you got Heinze. I mean, if people think I have an accent, wait till you hear Brandon Heinze speak. It must have been.
That's when I realized, you know, what it was to come to fucking Newfoundland and everything. No, Heinze and I we had a fucking blast back there.
Did you ever make it to Newfoundland in the AHL?
Never. I always wanted to, but I didn't make it there.
They were in and out of the league.
Only good things about fucking Newfoundland, but inshallah, as we say, I'll get there one day.
You will. I hope we get there rapping, to be honest with you. So then you go. What I love about Milwaukee as a minor league city is that it's a major league city, but the AHL had a few of them. You know, like I don't regret my time in Fredericton. It was great. I loved it. But Fredericton is a minor league city. But, you know, with it, all of a sudden, like Houston would be in the league. And you'd be like, what? Like, how the fuck is Houston in the same league? And they came in a bit later. But, you know, and then Philly and then Milwaukee.
So,
tell us a bit. Yeah. Tell us a bit about Milwaukee. You know, I mean, they got professional sports teams. There must be a thriving.
You know, it was amazing. Yo, like they have the fucking Brewers there. Went to a couple Brewers game at a blast. Milwaukee Bucks are doing really good. Now, back then, they were awful. But we would go often there. And we play in the same rink as them back then. So we would like they would practice. Let's say we're just like having.
We
practice in the same rink and all that. So we crossed by the guys and all that. I remember talking to Giannis a couple of times.
Wow.
Middleton and all those guys were like watching us practice. They were in the gym and vice versa, you know? So we had a blast. And our owner there was a part owner with the Bucks at the time. I don't know if he still is. And the more community work you would do, he would send you tickets. So I watched a couple games courtside and all that with the boys, man. It was at fucking blast. And Milwaukee's a big party city, big fucking they're big beer drinkers over there.
Yeah
the Miller, the breweries over there and stuff. There's mad bars. Green Bay Packers an hour and a half away. Milwaukee, man, was just fucking, the experience there was amazing, you know. And that's also when I kind of shifted towards more the music and all that.
But hey, as you're doing the shift, but,
yeah, man.
As you're shifting here, because I'm guessing, you know, when you're, because that's the A, you're down in the East Coast League and you're probably going, okay, trying to pace yourself for the shift. But even in the coast, you're in Cincinnati. I played in Cincy. What a fucking city that is. Another major league city.
Amazing city. Cincinnati was the best time ever, for real. And the coaches there were so understanding with me. And I had a blast with the guys too. Cincinnati was a beautiful city. The girls there, you got the couple universities, Bengals, the fucking baseball teams there too. I forgot the name.
Reds.
But Cincy, and the weather's nice because Milwaukee gets mad fucking cold and windy.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't realize Cincinnati's right on the border. Literally, there's a bridge. It's right on the border of Kentucky. Right? When people think Ohio, they don't think as warm as Kentucky.
No, exactly.
It's right there.
Yeah, we were playing in Cincinnati, but our apartments were in Northern Kentucky. So you have to cross the border every day, you know?
I loved it there. Did you play, because there's two rinks, but did you play downtown?
Yeah, downtown at the U.S. Bank.
How great is that? So people that don't know, so the U.S. Bank, and then right next to, there's three huge arenas, right? So the U.S. Bank is right there. Then you got football. I forget the name of it, but that's where the Bengals play. And then the Reds play right next to that. So there's three of those huge stadiums that would make New York proud. And then right in the back, there's a river and there's river boats on it. I guess it's the Ohio River, I would guess.
Yep, it is.
Yeah, right. And you can go out there and like, you know, just like you would see old school, like, and they made a point to make them old school, right? Like the old river boats. That was a blast. I loved it. So
everything's connected. You get tickets to all the games and all that, bro. It was fucking, it was dope. It was nice. It was really cool.
Tickets to fucking everything.
Like, yeah, man.
So before we get into the transition, I want to ask, because it must happen. It must. You don't have to sell anybody out here. I just mean in general, in your hockey career, did you ever feel like people were being racist towards you or anybody? I mean, that's
sure.
I'm not trying to pick up on like anything new I'm not trying to be woke. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if
it's
a guy.
Any line we're walking on.
Yeah, we are, right? And you know, you're a big black guy with dreads. You don't fit the mold, even though you and I are very much similar. It would be only skin color. But mm-hmm. I just wonder if you dealt with anything like many others have that went through the same thing.
100%. We do every day. It's like it's an ongoing thing, you know, because the sport is mostly white. It's owned by white people. You know what I'm saying? So like, and most of the people are older too. So it's the older generation. And yeah, man, every day, like, fuck my hair. You said it, you know, fucking just the one day I walked on the bus with Grills. He didn't like it, you know. It goes all the way down to the music we listen. Again, comments in the room, you know, the way we dress, and like every day, you know. So at one point, even me living that and having everything I had back home going on, that like back then, I just preferred to leave, you know, and that's the pros. Like it's a nice league, so they won't, you know, they'll do it the sneaky way all the time, you know, just sneaky. But I've had many situations where like guys were sitting in the room holding their head like this because they were so ashamed of what was happening, you know, like.
Oh wow! So like, so most say players. So it was more say off, like you're. I'm guessing your players. Your teammates embraced you, and you don't have
teammates embraced me all the time. That's one thing I have to say. I ain't never had. Well, I put my hands on a couple guys, yo. And since I had to put my hands on one teammate one day because he was being a fucking prick, but that's the only event I had with fucking a teammate. But like coaching staff and higher ranks in the team, sometimes I've had a couple issues with and. Like, yeah, man, sometimes like it was maybe one guy there or two guys or whatever, but they would fucking like they would vouch for me today if we could make a little movie about it. Maybe it's in the books.
Well, and the only reason I'm not trying to dig anything up, it's just, you know, it's very relevant and I can, and especially, and those things are changing. Think about it. Even a lot of the people that coach me, you, right, they're 60, 70 years old, like where things were a lot different, and they were. It's good that we're coming around now. It's finally good. We're in the process. So, like I said, I wasn't looking for a specific quote. I appreciate the answer you gave me. A lot of people pass it off like it's not there, but it is there. How about growing up as a young kid? Yep. How about that? Was it similar?
That was similar too, especially in Montreal, you know. And once we moved to the suburbs of Montreal, North Side, that was, you know, I see my dad fight at the arena a couple of times, you know. Or just hear shit from parents and all that. But yeah, man, like we got a long, we came a long way, but we only halfway, you know?
Yeah,
we came a long way, but there's still halfway to go more. And I've even had, so I left the pros and I even had a big, so I went back and played in this Quebec Goonie League that we have, the LNAH. Okay. And yeah, man, and we still had problems there, and that wasn't against me because the player, once again, players are all good, but it's the people around, either in the stands or literally, own, like, not owners, but, like, you know what I'm saying?
People I read about this incident in the I read about this. And the people outside the penalty box or something.
They went on my dad and fucking try and touch his hair, and my sister was there. She got grabbed. She had to fucking pull the guy away from this. My girl at the time almost punched somebody because he was pouring beer on my dad and stuff like that. I seen this. I had just left the rink and they made a big thing about it. But so it's an ongoing thing, you know, racism is, it's there every day, and thank God for cell phones and all that, you know, so everything gets recorded nowadays. But and even, you know, but there's bad things happening in hockey, whether it's racism, fucking, you can see no coaches getting backfired for getting backfired for bad things they did, you know. That coach, I don't remember.
That's good. People got to answer the bell. You know, and it's time for that. At times the pendulum swings a little bit far, but yeah. in that case, in the sexual stuff and the racism, I think people should get what's coming to them. And you know,
sure.
There's a time for reckoning, my friend, and it's now. Listen, does any of it? I don't know. I can't wait to hear your music. I haven't heard yet. And I'm not trying to be ignorant. I just didn't know. And I'm,
no, I hear you.
I would love to hear it. So does any of that, those experiences, good, bad, and ugly, does the hockey stuff and the things that you went through, say there when it comes to dealing with racism, does that come out in the music at all?
It does. It does come out in the music very often. I'm actually currently working on an album just for that, though, you know. So I've been making a lot of songs and all that, and I sometimes I just, you know, talk a little bit about it. But I'm currently working on an album that's just focused on literally from A to Z, just the entire story, like it would be in a book or whatever, you know.
Really?
I'm working
a little bit of a concept album.
Oh yes, concept album, you know, where I'll be burning my hockey jersey and bunch of stuff like that, but like just to show big images, you know.
Of course,
and just send all my message. Yo, that album, yo, if they want to sue me after that, I'm dropping names and all this shit. I don't care, you know what I'm saying? It'll be the fucking, it could be the end of me, but it'll be it if that's it, you know. But I want to also just share those stories, because whether the hockey is a good school, you know, it's still giving me really nice. Say we're talking today, I met you because of hockey, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm meeting beautiful people, I'm getting beautiful opportunities, but the light has, we have to show the, kick the motherfuckers that are doing the wrong thing and having bad influence on people, you know what I'm saying? Because there's bad stuff happening too. That's, we're talking about it just yesterday, walking, said we had Italian last night, but when you play hockey at a certain levels, there's no rule for you in society. Like you become a fucking superhuman. Like it's too much, you know. And some guys handle it perfectly, and some guys just take a little advantage out of it. And it has to stop, you know, because we're at the end of the day, everybody's fucking human being. You know what I'm saying? It's not because fucking, but we got a long way to come on that. But I want to share that shit in my music, and we'll see where it leads.
You know what I've often said, and because everybody faces adversity to some point, I never had to go through anything like that, but at various points in my life, whether it's financial or which has happened a lot, or if it was something to do with, I had post-concussion syndrome and I had to make a decision. I was in the NHL lineup. I had to take myself out. It was a very, very tough, hard on a kid's brain. You know, not on the same level, but hey, yeah, you fucking newfie, you know, you dumb newfie. When I was a young kid, 14. So, but what I found, I'm going somewhere with this. A lot of people have mental adversity, and I have mental health issues episodes on here that we deal with it. And I get a lot of feedback, and I say to people, I'm like, you know, there's a parallel. I say we're you and I are very similar. When you write the music, it's like, you know, I write those books. It's like when I feel inspired, I write a chapter of a book, and it almost feels therapeutic. You know, again, I had an experience with Michelle Therrien. I didn't like the guy, totally forgive him, whatever. But at the time, what helped me get through it was coming that? Home and writing about it. And I feel it's so freeing. And everybody, I think, has that artistic brush inside them. They just don't
absolutely
make the decision. So you, when you made the decision, was that freeing?
That was the best relief I've ever, like, it was the best decision, best relief. It was the wow, you know. I started doing that in Cincinnati, actually. I started writing, like, not even rhymes, just writing down my feelings, actually, in a book that I still have. And, like, the feelings I had that day or whatever. And one day, one of my home, because I had invested in the studio back home, because I had homies that was doing wrong stuff, doing in jail. Homie came out, bought the studio, told the nigga, yo, you stay there, make the music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Again, that was the thing. And I was just keeping playing hockey. But he sent me a beat he had made, and I was just writing, and I started writing rhymes, you know, and started writing rhymes. And at the end of fucking, I was there for an hour. I had like two songs written. That's great. Two songs written out of fucking just one feeling. And
wow,
I started like just singing that shit. And it was amazing to me, you know? So the next day came back, I asked him for another beat. And I just started doing this every day. I have like fucking books at home, like lyrics. And then that was my last year in Cincinnati. Maybe like the last 2 months I was there. And no, but it was really, it was a therapeutic. It was the best therapy for me. And then I came back home and I entered the studio and then I sang my shit. And that was another feeling that I've never like experienced, you know. I was just there listening to like what I had in mind and what was on my heart. And then other people were just bouncing their head to it. You know, I was like, and then I stepped back. I was like, wow. And so, yo, I had to fucking, that hit me like a passion right then. So I just started writing my feelings down, everyday feelings, and then stories that I've seen, that I live, whatever. And that's how we make the music. And nowadays, fucking 3 years later, man, I've been on the biggest festival in Montreal. I've seen biggest places in the world. You know, I've sang in Africa a couple of places. I fucking get booked every weekend. So like, it's just amazing for me, you know?
When you sat down in Cincinnati, what you were doing was opening a door. Mm-hmm. And there was a monkey on your back that you knew was there, but you didn't realize how at quick all. That you could deal with that monkey. You're like, I kind of identify, man. Like, not fully, but there are similarities. And I know what it's like to go, oh, you know what? Wow, like I got this in me. And you write a chapter and you're like, fuck. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm 100 pages in. I might have a book yep. here. Like, you know, yep. and you're thinking, fuck, you know, I think I might be an artist here.
Yeah. You know, look, you want to talk about something racist? See, that just came up to me. We're on the bus. We're chilling on the bus. There's like three guys in front of the bus. They're battle rapping. They're having fun. They're doing their thing. I'm at the back of the bus. I don't even remember what I'm doing. I might be listening to music, whatever. I'm doing my thing, but and homies, just because I'm black, yo, Dolo. It wasn't even Dolo. It was, yo, Joe.
Yeah.
Come rap. You must be good. You know what I'm saying? Like, what you mean? I must be, you know?
Because you're
black. You know, I'm
you go for a pickup game of basketball and you go first overall, even though there's four white guys there that played basketball.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And back then, I had no idea about it. You know, it wasn't, I was the DJ everywhere because I had good fucking music reference and all that. But I wouldn't know. Music, right, or whatever. So I was like, I'll do this shit. You know what I'm saying? Next thing you know, fucking, I leave hockey to do this shit. But like, yeah, man.
It's fucking hilarious. It's like a bad episode of The Office or something. Fucking, they just pick you first. Oh, God. Listen, I appreciate it. I got some quick questions. Rapid fire randoms, we call them. Should be another 10 minutes or so. Are you good with that, Dolo, or what?
I'm good with it, man. I'm having fun.
Okay, brother, thanks a lot. Here we go. Your death row meal. You got one meal left. You're sitting there. You're about to get hung because you've just done something crazy. And what are you going to have as your last meal?
It's called atsiki. So it's an African meal. We do it's grilled chicken and it's like a mix of couscous and rice. So it's a side that you eat with your hands. You know what I'm saying? So you get this, you get the chicken and the sauce. I'll send you a picture, whatever, man. But that would be a chicken atsiki. We call it atsiki.
Could you make it here? We're here for another 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah. I'll make it here one day for sure.
Okay, that's what I'll break. Remember I said I'm not eating red meat or chicken now, but I mean, yeah. I will. And I said, like, you know, it was more to test my cholesterol for a few months.
For sure.
But I said, I'll break it for something. I'm not married to it. It's not a moral thing. It's not just, but that, if you choose to make that, for sure, I'd bend for something like that.
Yeah, man, we'll get it done for sure. Give me a fucking stove.
Not a rapid fire random, but you keep bringing that up. Your mom is from Quebec. Your dad is from Africa. So side note here, I want to know, how did they meet? And that doesn't sound like a hockey atmosphere.
No, that's not a hockey related story at all. Actually, fuck, my dad was a fucking, he was in Africa, you know, he grew up fucking poor. He had it really rough. And he wanted to do better for himself. So he fucking started, he stashed his money and he left for Europe, did a couple of years in Europe when he was 17. So I think he showed up in Montreal, he was around 20 or 21. And he married a girl that my mom knew back then just to get his paper type of thing, you know? And so he and my mom became good friends through the woman he was with before. And even my mother had another guy at the time, and they were really good friends for like a couple of years, actually. Even my dad had another girl. I have an older sister. So my mom and dad were like good friends for like fucking 15 years until they had me, pretty much.
That is great story. Is your mom white or black?
She's white. White. So she's from St. Jerome, like super white fucking town. Wow. Like,
so guy comes over from Africa, black guy from Africa. I'm not laughing. It just doesn't seem like it sounds like a unique story that you got there. Man. So he's black from Africa. She's white from Quebec, French girl. They meet and you become a hockey player.
You know, but that's Montreal for you right there.
Montreal, that fucking is Montreal. Right, that is Montreal. What are your top three things about Montreal?
Fucking the women, the nightlife, and people. No, the weed.
Oh, wow, interesting. Good answer. Most prized possession. Your most prized possession.
Fuck. I don't even know because I don't like. Fucking my first goal, my first pro goal puck I have at home.
And where was that?
That was in Milwaukee, against the fucking Grand Rapids Griffin, if I'm not mistaken.
Detroit's prime team.
Clapper from the point.
Beautiful. You had a hard shot too, man. I'm surprised you didn't get more PP time. Would you rather go in a hot air balloon from Toronto to Montreal or fight Mike Tyson?
Oh, God damn, the hot air balloon for sure.
Solo in the hot air balloon, though. It's just you.
Oh.
Get there.
No, I try my shot then because I probably wouldn't even get there. Solo in the air balloon now. I need the fucking home to drive it. I get real tight with Mike. I spoke with Jay before. Talk it out.
That'd ease you in. Mike could probably take it easy. Who knows? Neither one. For me, I'm terrified of heights, so I'd just fight Tyson just to take the punch and go down. You got a choice of one of these things. You've got to do one. Never leave North America again. Never eat dairy again. Or never go to a movie again.
Never eat dairy again. For sure.
One player that you played with gets to be your personal chef for the rest of your life. Who would it be?
Oh, fuck. Oh, man. I would say, I don't know if you ever heard of this guy. His name's Sam Finn.
Okay.
Oh, no. Fuck that. Freddie Gaudreau. Freddie Gaudreau for shout.
Okay. He's good in the kitchen.
He's with the Wild right now. He's in Minnesota. Freddie Gaudreau, I kid you not. Listen to this. We're fucking first year before we're going for Nashville training camp.
Yeah.
We don't know each other. We're just playing against each other for a couple of years and all that. Flight got delayed in Philly, I think, for fucking like 7 hours or whatever. And, you know, it's fucking airport food. So you get McDonald's, Burger King, your regular fucking stupid shit. And the airline comes. So we don't really want to eat too bad because, you know, it's like first year we've been working so much.
Yeah.
First year coming in the camp and all that. And the woman comes around and she's handing out chips and all bags of bunch of snacks and all shit, but yo, I get fucking mad hungry, so I grab two bags of chips and I just fucking munch them. And I'm like, yo, you want some? He's like, no. I'm like, you want some? Like, no. For 7 hours, Freddie wouldn't eat nothing other than fucking salad or fish or whatever, something healthy, because he's had his entire like planned out. Like he was eating on a diet for the entire summer, and that wasn't on his diet, you know.
Yeah. And if you break it, it often opens the door to breaking. I know it.
You know. So he was like, nope. For 7 hours, Freddie didn't eat nothing nor snack. Mans was hungry. He's like, nah, I'm gonna wait it out. that's when I realized how like how focused this guy was, and you know how different he really was, man.
Wow, it's a great story. Would you chop off a hand for $26 million? Just have a hook or whatever.
Fuck. I don't think so, man. It's a lot of money, but I don't think so.
It's a hand. Hand's big.
Like
toe.
Maybe a fucking finger, but like even then.
I think, man. I might. $26 million.
What would you do with $26 million then after just fucking?
I don't know. I guess I think about my daughter and I don't know.
I hear you.
I think I've been, there's a hook. I'd never play hockey again, though. I think it's easy to say yes.
You'd be the first. Yeah, fuck, I was going to drop a bomb there. My bad. But yeah.
Oh, that's all right.
No, but I was going to say it. So yeah, man, it's like a new hitch.
New hitch. Yeah, okay. You people will get that in about a month from now. Mm. You have to remove two NHL teams from the league. Which teams would it be?
Fucking Kraken and the Boston fucking Bruins.
Oh, old school and brand new school.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Your favorite animal?
Sheesh.
Monkeys. Like monkeys. Like, yeah, monkeys.
Like swinging trees monkeys?
Yeah, like
not the big gorillas that are, you know, the more swinging the trees.
I like monkeys, but kind of more the gorilla. The gorilla, to be honest.
Fucking tough gorilla.
Yeah. You were fucking niggas up.
I think the monkey would be cute, but if you were in survival mode, imagine having a fucking gorilla on your side.
It'd be better to be a gorilla, yeah.
Would you go into space if given the opportunity?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd like to see this shit.
Before every gig that you have from here on in, how much would it take to, in your opener, you have to, so this is the deal. Let's just say this. Let's change the question. It's same thing. $26 million in your pocket right now. But every time you go out to play a gig, you have to get up in front of the crowd and say, look, the reason I'm here is because Vanilla Ice is my favorite rapper ever. And I think he's a genius and the greatest musician and whoever. So I owe it all to Vanilla Ice. Now, 26.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
Oh, you'd kill your career.
I can't sell my soul like that. No.
I figured that. I can't even fucking imagine if you did that. People go, what the fuck? What's your biggest pet peeve?
Fuck. I don't know, man. Pet peeve, bro. Spiders.
Just straight up spiders. Would you rather be a Marvel? So now you're entering in the acting world and you rap. So would you rather right now get news that you're the new, say, Black Panther, you're a Marvel superhero? I don't know any of them. Let's say Black Panther, for lack of a better one. Or so you're the new Black Panther or tour with Kendrick Lamar. As you know, you're opening for him, you're getting exposure. So
I'd probably go on tour with Kendrick Lamar.
It would be, I would, yeah.
Just because it's Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even ask you. I'm guessing if you rap. I mean,
movie, but Kendrick Lamar, sheesh.
I mean, I would think. I like Kendrick. There's probably a lot that, although I'm pretty well versed when it comes to music, I would think you got ahead of me in the rap game, but I just guessed that you would like Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah,
who would be your influences?
Influences, I would say 50 Cent for sure. A little bit of Lil Wayne too. I listened a whole lot of Lil Wayne growing up. Fucking a lot of guys actually. I listened to everything, but 50 Cent, Lil Wayne, Snoop Dogg, you know, all that NWA era.
I saw Snoop in the mid 90s.
Yeah.
Saw Ice Cube too. I didn't see NWA, but I saw Cube.
Whew, that must have been so incredible.
Way back then, yeah. Well, it was. Look, I've often told the story. I played junior in Tri-City, which was outside Seattle. So the grunge movement was happening, but all music was going there to record, right? Like you'd see.
Someone's knocking at the door. Hold on. I don't know what the fuck they want.
Oh, the door?
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
hi. Oh, thank you.
It'll switch the input on your TV.
Oh, nice.
You wanted to change the input on your TV as well?
I don't know. I ain't even asked for nothing like that, so I don't know what's happening.
Oh, that's mine.
That's for you?
Yeah, that's for my, because I got the PlayStation and I go back and forth.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's...
I'll just come get it after this.
No worries.
I go on and play PlayStation at night, right? EASHL. Me and my buddies play one position each and just get on there and have a joint and just get right into it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, okay. What were we saying? I forgot.
Just a couple more. Do you own any CDs?
Oh, dude, I own like 3,000 fucking vinyls.
Oh, that was my next question. CDs or vinyl? So you got, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm the same. I got lots of vinyl.
I have a huge collection at the studio, man. We have everything.
Dude, I'd love to sit down and play some tunes one time. Dude.
Sure, man. If you come down to Montreal, bro, we have the entire room filled up.
Okay. No, this is definitely
everything
happening.
From rap to rock, country, disco, fucking world music, everything. Because we chop it up, right? So we use vinyls. We use like CDs.
Oh, dude, I got to come see this. Before. Dude. Okay, when we're going back, I mean, once I go to Newfoundland, I'm in Newfoundland.
Yep.
When I'm up here, I'll just come over there, you know.
Oh, for sure, bro.
I'll fly back a few days late.
Anytime.
Okay, deadly.
Come sit down and fucking we throw some tunes out. We smoke one and that's it. You know, we just thought, yo, the studio's open for that. That's what we do. But yeah, I own like mad vinyls, mad CDs, everything.
Good. I mean, I figured. I was just curious if you went that route or was it all online stuff. How many fish burgers have you ever eaten?
None.
How many chicken burgers have you ever eaten?
Probably like a million.
How many triple burgers, just straight up hamburgers, triple burgers?
Fucking once at, there's a restaurant called the Belle La Boeuf in Montreal.
I know the restaurant.
Once the fucking hamburger's like fucking 2 feet high.
Would you come to Newfoundland if I got you a gig?
100%.
Fantastic. That was.
I would stay longer. I would come for the gig and probably get an Airbnb or something for a week or two, probably 2 weeks.
Okay, this is fantastic. I do. I think I have a little bit of pull in that direction, and I'd love to get you over there in the spring or the summer. Do some whale watching, hang out on George Street.
For sure.
Okay, we'll work on that. And I know a few people are listening that can make it happen. So chop chop, boys. Lastly, upcoming events. Where can fans go? I guess we already talked about Instagram. Do you have, I guess not in the near future. What are your plans, you know, in the new year?
New year, man, 2022. I'm going to release a French album. I have an English album and I have a bilingual album. So I'm releasing 3 albums in 2022. I'm going for a tour in Africa in January. And yes, people can follow me on Joe_Dolo. I want to say I just released a short movie. So I wrote the script fucking a year and a half ago. And we shot the entire thing a year ago. And it took a full year to do the post-production because we're doing everything ourselves, from the music to the edits to the VFX to the sound. Everything we're doing together, my team, 5 guys. So, yes, you can find Black to the Future. That's the name of the movie on my Instagram, Joe_Dolo.
Okay, fantastic. I'm going to check that out myself. Thanks, my man.
Thanks to
for
you,
anybody
brother.
I really appreciate it. I think as time goes on, people listening now, I'm going to release this tomorrow, but all this will make sense. The show that we're doing, just stay tuned.
Yep.
Right? Stay tuned. And you might even hear some of Dolo's music in and around the show. I'm definitely going to post some, but just stay tuned to our Instagram accounts. Thanks again, Joe. Dolo. Listen, I think it's the start of a good, close relationship we're going to have. I like your style. You're a good guy. And let's do this together. Thanks a lot for coming on the show and talk soon.
What room you in?
I'm in 421.
See you soon.
Okay, see you soon.
All right. Thanks again, brother.
Thank you. Okay, folks, there you have it. Thanks to my guest, Joe Ishmael Diaby, now known as Dolo. And you'll be hearing more from him and myself, but you'll hear a lot more from him. Just stay tuned to our Instagram account soon. Great guy. Like I said, we met just this week, but I'm intrigued by his story and I can't wait to hear his music. I honestly haven't heard any yet and I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for tuning in. Always remember, check out Greensleeves, downtown, uptown. If you're home in Newfoundland, home, I say home. If you're in St. John's, TJ's Pub, check it out. Trinity Pub, Wedgwood Cafe and Elizabeth Avenue is awesome. Plus they do catering and Penny Posh. Penny Posh Designs. Is it pennyposh.com? Women's Wear Reimagined. But it's coming up on Christmas time as well. And send my ex-wife, Danielle Young, on Instagram. Send her a message. Or just go to Penny Posh. And lastly, if you'd like a book, go to flankerpress.com. Flankerpress.com. And if you'd like it personalized, just shoot me a direct message. Track me down on social media. Okay. Order it on flankerpress.com. You're going to get a better deal than I've given in the past couple of years. They're great people there. We've worked together to try to give some Christmas prices. And just shoot me a note if you want me to personalize it. And what I do, I just stop in when I'm at home. And in this case, I brought a bunch of books to Sudbury with me. And you guys just let me know, okay? Thanks again to my guest, Dolo. Stay tuned. And yeah, I'll catch you on the rebound. This has been episode 77. Love you guys. Stay safe. Talk soon.